Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Big thanks to our new sponsor, Maeve, for supporting the podcast. Dogs need unprocessed, high-protein, low-carb diets that kibble and fresh food just don't offer. Make the switch to raw today. Right now, Maeve is offering $40 off your first order at meetmaeve.com/filmsack.
Nearly six centuries had passed since that night, yet the ancient blood feud proved unwilling to follow Lucian to the grave. Though Lycans were fewer in number, the war itself had become more perilous, for the moon no longer held her sway. Older, more powerful Lycans were now able to change at will. The weapons had evolved, but our orders remained the same. Hunt them down and kill them off, one by one.
I've tasted his flesh.
Ew.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to FilmSack, everyone. This is FilmSack, binding the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 606, it's the weekend of June 17th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Have you ever seen so many leather overcoats in your life, Dunaway?
Just that one time. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on FilmSack, we go under the cover of the full moonlight and get into an age-old battle with our sworn enemy, the Netflix. Netflix, you blood-sucking bastard. Let me share my password with my mom, you jerk. Don't make me go all Wolfman on you. Trust me, you won't like me when I'm hairier than usual. Fine. Then she can just call you for tech support. How is that for cost savings for you? Ha! What a world, what a world. Anywho, who's ready for a rousing game of Don't Wake Vampire Daddy, the board game? All right. I'll just place dehydrated Vampire Daddy in the middle of the board in his death metal AF coffin and cute little nightcap. And we'll just set the timer for six centuries. Shh. Papa, us kids will be good. We promise. Oh, shit, Ibbot. Did you just land on incest and betrayal? Oh, Papa ain't going to like that. Good thing I got this data liking card. Oh, hi, Papa. Are we being too loud? Randy, quick. Grab Papa's blood enema. We got some splaining to do.
But blood enema is almost better.
Blood enema.
Yeah,
blood that was too close blood to. Blood I must. I need a space between there. Blood enema.
That's pretty good. I liked it.
What was that Jack did from the Batman? What was it? We need an enema. What was this town? This town.
Oh, this town needs an enema. Yes. Yeah, that's correct. You made two Jack references in that in your opening today. Jeez, Louise. All that. Nicely done. Also with us, Randy. His rib cage is all blue and weird too when he gets pissed. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian, thank you all for coming to this planning meeting. Even though we're a vampire collective and we're supposed to be fighting together in a deadly war every night, we don't have enough planning meetings. I mean, really, have we ever? I don't think we've ever had a planning meeting, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of several reasons here. I think one, it's because you all smell really bad.
Aww,
and we vampires have a heightened sense of smell in addition to our magical extendable teeth. And that reminds me, everyone, is due for your 50-year dental checkups next week. Please don't flake on this one. It's really hard to find a dentist here in Budapest who will work at night when it's always raining outside. You understand. And also, okay, I have three more quick rules here for you, and then we can all go to Denny's. Number one. After hundreds of years of war, we've only just found out about exotic bullets. So we've put our quartermaster on bullet study full time. But that's the problem is it's not full time because he's also the only person in this outfit who's entirely responsible for repairing our rubber and black leather clothing that doubles as our armor. He's very busy. Yeah. Number two, please stop with the petty office politics. Please, we're handing out promotions every 62 years, just like we always have. Number three, I need you to be extra careful in train stations, okay? For some reason, trains make no sound whatsoever until they're passing your body at high speed. Then you're like, ah, and you squeeze out just a little pee, and that's right inside your rubber bodysuit. Stop doing that. Thank you.
Nice. Yeah. This is good. That was good three-tiered advice today. I really liked it. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, what must the inside of that bodysuit smell like?
I don't even want to know. I don't want to know. Hey, look, everybody, from the Las Vegas Strip, we have with us also Brian. It took him a really, really long time to notice his face was sliced in half. Ibbit.
It's true, yes. Like it just slowly, oh, my face is off. Yeah, I was doing karaoke last night, and I think we have audio of the song I performed. Scott, could you go ahead and cue that up for us?
No, I'm really glad you took the time while you were there, you know, trying to have a good time and everything, but you took the time to record it. And we're going to play it now for everybody. So enjoy Brian's karaoke in Vegas. Here you go.
This is awesome.
No way. I've been trying to guess all
I made it through the underworld. Somehow I made it through. Though I've lived 600 years, I still look 22. I deal death. I'm the best, smashing heads under my army boot, but you made me peel. Yeah, you made me peel off my tight leather suit. Like an vermin, breathing for the very last time. Like an vermin, I'm gonna erase your whole bloodline. Gonna wake up all the elders with blood through pipes of steel. The wolf leaders are after you. He'll tell me what's the deal. Victor bled half a head. Seems he lied. Yeah, the truth set free, oh, the fur and fangs. Yeah, the fur and fangs came from the same family tree.
Aww.
Like an vermin. Looks like we were wrong the whole time. Like an vermin. You're a long lost cousin of mine, like in vermin. Ooh, like in vermin.
Brian gave me this song like a couple of days ago, and I've been trying to guess because I refused. I wanted to be surprised with everybody else what it was, but I had no idea. Freaking lichen vermin. Good Lord.
Lichen vermin.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Such a great pick. Oh my
Did you
gosh.
Get any banging on the wall at your hotel?
Much, but I don't think it had to do with my singing.
Oh, bummer.
No. Whole other problem. Well, anyway, hey, everybody, check it out. We watched a movie, and it's called Underworld. And if you don't believe me, let Scott Fletcher prove it.
Underworld. Celine, a vampire warrior, is entrenched in a conflict between vampires and werewolves. While falling in love with Michael, a human who is sought by werewolves for unknown reasons.
Oh, we don't know why at first, but then we find out later. That's the summation of the film Underworld. Came out in 2002, directed by Len Wiseman, written by
Wise Man.
Yeah, Wise Man, written by him, Kevin Grivo, and a dude named Danny McBride, but not the one you're thinking.
Oh, that Danny. Oh.
Different dude.
Not that different guy. Danny.
Yeah, he also looks like he'd have a good time, though. I saw a picture of him, and he looks like a dude that might have some fun.
not as much fun as Danny McBride, the Danny McBride, though.
No, not exactly. But yeah, this is a movie that I saw in theaters and loved, and then it released a series of sequels that I hated. I thought they were bad, and we're not talking about those today other than, you know, they'll make a mention here and there, but we watched Underworld.
And I just want to issue a quick correction. This movie came out in 2003. I looked that up because on Apple TV, which is where I had to watch it in here in Canada, it said 2002 on the screen.
Yeah, that's where I saw it, too.
That made me scratch my head. And then I went and looked it up. It came out in September of 2003.
Yeah, why is that? Why do these places, because that's also where I saw O2, why do they do that? It seems like your one job was to put up the info over there. Is it all robots now? That's the problem. It's robots.
They have gone to the trouble of making a widget work that gives you a Rotten Tomatoes score at the title screen of the movie that you rented in Apple TV. They can't get the date right.
Yeah, I don't get it. Oh, that's right. You watch this up, and you're in Canada, so where it's available is very different up there, I guess. So yes. you had to rent it. Down here it was on Netflix, and Netflix also had the wrong date. So good job, everybody, with your date.
Interesting. I wonder why it's wrong across the board. Like some, whatever the API is, it's pulling from somewhere that says 2002, but nobody's gone in to fix it.
Some source data is wrong, is my guess, on some server somewhere. But we got quite the cast here. Kate Beckinsale in her hot mode. This is her hottest mode.
Hot mode.
Yeah, she's a very attractive lady, and boy howdy is she! She's just beautiful in this.
She is really. Yeah. I just want to point out she spends the entire movie covered in black rubber. Mm-hmm. This is a Kate Beckinsale covered up movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And no, she's head to toe.
I kept expecting like some of that's got at least a sleeve is going to get ripped off at some point. We're going to see some of Kate Beckinsale other than just her face.
Don't worry. Worried about over-sexualization of Kate Beckinsale, no problem. You got lots of shirtless dudes, and this may be the most shirtless dudes I've seen in the world.
Oh, there are many shirtless dudes.
Oh, yeah. Many shirtless
dudes. Buff, too.
Don't forget, the only way that Kate Beckinsale can talk to a sleeping elder is by standing in front of a mirror, foggy mirror, topless.
Oh, right. Right, that's correct. Don't ever forget that. I try not to.
Yeah,
never forget.
Scott Speedman also in this. You don't think of him much these days. He's not in stuff where it's major. You're just sort of like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy's face a little bit. He looks like a kind of a dime store McDreamy. What's that actor's name?
Oh, Patrick.
Patrick Dempsey. Dempsey? Yeah. Dempsey. He's got a little bit of that going on. In fact, one of his, I think his IMDb photo literally, or at least one of the photos looks like him.
Literally is a picture of Patrick.
It might be somebody might have screwed up.
He steps into Grey's Anatomy in the 14th season.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You have a straight up McDreamy kind of thing for a
connection.
Scott,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There's one picture of him in an IMDb. It's just like, my God.
Yeah.
You're so McDreamy.
He's a handsome man. He really is. But I don't know. His acting's fine.
How about when he's that like black purple? Was he still cool then?
I thought so at the time. I think now I'm a little. I'm a little torn on that look, on his hybrid look at the end.
Because I'm like, is he more vampire or more werewolf? He's got this weird disconnected rib cage and he's all dark blue color.
I feel like this movie was trying to tell a story, but never actually told the story, you know?
Yeah. They definitely were setting up for a series. They had no doubts, apparently, when they released this film, because even the end of it's like, stay tuned for part two.
Well, not only that, they greenlit it for two sequels before it even hit because pre-sales on tickets were so high at the time. And they weren't even sure what the deal was or why that was happening. But boy, those sequels, those follow-ups are so bad. I think this is a really good time. And we're still basking in the light that is like Matrix light. Like this movie is like full on pulling the Matrix buttons.
100%.
And it's amazing.
Could we have all that wardrobe from the Matrix? We're going to use it for this.
And it's amazing they pulled it off. And I remember watching this and not going, well, I'm not going to see that. It looks like The Matrix. Yeah. They pulled it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scott, can you give us Brian Dunaway's nickname again?
Have you ever seen so many leather overcoats in your life, Dunaway? Is that the
Yes, the answer is yes, absolutely. We just saw it was weird how you had to force yourself to not think about, oh, that looks like Morpheus. You mm-hmm. know, like every single mm-hmm. introduction of a character, it just felt like they stepped out of the Matrix and into this movie.
You'd be the guy that talked like this. He looked like me. He looked like
yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I love what's his name? Kevin Grievous. Is that how you say it? Grievous or something?
Grievo. I don't know how you
Grievo.
Say it.
Anyway, Ray's the character's name, and he is... that he's great. That's I love real, him in this. In that's this his role. Real. He's so intimidating.
Real, it's his real voice.
And I love
too.
That the trivia says. Yeah, I love that the trivia says. Yeah, that he talks like that. Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't have him speaking more though, because it's very distracting. But is a physical specimen and a physical actor. Good lord, dude, he's like he convinced me.
Yeah,
he is Michael Clark Duncan that you ordered off Wish, and
he's way more flexible than Michael Clark Duncan. Love Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd want this guy in your scrappy acrobatic fight, probably more than Duncan.
Sure. Yeah, right. But the Morpheus references Khan is a different character in this movie. His name in the movie is Khan. Mm-hmm.
Khan, and it's played, Robbie
played
G.
by a Robbie G. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was so, it was so like Morpheus. I was like, I wondered if they were trying that. Like if they were we need the collar on the cloak, the leather cloak to look exactly like Morpheus or not.
Because, so this is something that I've found as I've navigated through this life is that a lot of times trends will happen. And sometimes people are so afraid to, you know, to look like imitators that they avoid the trend entirely. But looking back, I'm like, man, I wish we had more films that were Matrix-like. I wish it almost had kind of grew in more into a genre or a style, you know, like, this did it well.
Well, so let's think about what we got there. I think these count. So these are those. I think Equilibrium would count as a Matrix-like. Equilibrium,
for sure.
I think even the Charlize Theron.
Gattaca or...
Maybe Gattaca. Gattaca was more like dystopic future, a little less we're all
industrial.
Overall, that's a good one. But I would actually argue that Dunaway's right. It didn't actually create like a ton. Maybe it's because it's just too on the nose.
When a movie like The Matrix is as big as it is, right, then everything else looks like a copycat.
Right.
If it's a trend that lasts, it's because no one thing stands out too much.
Yeah, that's why I worry that it's funny you brought this up because we were just talking about this with a group that we all went with to see Spider-Verse 2. Mm-hmm. And one of the comments was, these movies will probably inspire a ton of movies to adopt similar styles.
Right.
But it'll be so obvious that they're copying that style because you'll immediately go, oh, this looks like Spider-Verse because Spider-Verse so prominently did the thing. And I would say that's true of The Matrix. The Matrix so prominently did the thing with the trench coats and the dark lighting and the blue lighting and the whatnot and the slow-mo and the everything that everything else, when it tried to do it, you just went, oh, okay, well, this is trying to be like The Matrix. In this case... there's superficial stuff like that, but I think they get away with it because vampires are just naturally wearing shit like that and looking all badass like that. I mean, it's just part of it, you know?
It's dark. It's the underworld. Yeah. It all made sense. You never went, well, why would they be down there? I love the fact that it's like, what is this, like the Montague versus the Capulets and stuff. It's like got a little bit of everything in it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, here's some Romeo story. Romeo and Juliet, they can't be together.
No, in a lot of ways, this thing is a straight up Shakespeare play, but covered in mm-hmm. makeup, like
mm-hmm. a bunch of familial,
two different worlds.
Yeah,
a bunch of familials.
Right.
Just, yeah.
And then you got the, you know, the big dad at the end who actually is really, truly the bad guy. You think he's kind of did this good thing for her and he didn't. I get this kind of betrayal is very Shakespearean.
I don't know. I don't think this movie really earns that. Like the description you just gave.
Well, I'm not saying it's great Shakespeare. I'm just saying they lift from it. You know what I mean? like in the same way that a lot of modern stuff does. It's just like,
oh yeah,
some of these stories are just recycled.
We've only got so many story structures, right? And yeah, this is one of them.
This is one of them.
I actually wrote down over and over, like four times in this movie, I wrote down, this was unearned. And it was like when Kate Beckinsale first kisses Scott Speedman, she's about to lock him up. Yeah. She's about to chain him down. And she just suddenly, she gets real close, like she's into him. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, this is completely not earned. We have not even established one small reason that she's
I think they were expecting the weight of the concept that vampires are just horny bastards. And and that's just how it is. So this movie's that part will
show me that
like,
before, before this moment.
It's almost kind of like a trope, though. I mean, it's kind of, it's very much we've seen it a million times. You know, she's got a prearranged marriage. She feels trapped. She's just looking for my prince will come one day. Yeah. He's a rebel. It's just as simple as that. The story is just simple.
Yeah, it's simple.
But it's the fact that there's no real attraction hinted at before that, right, Randy? Is that what you mean?
Like unearned moments are always things that you should have, when you get to them, you should go, oh, we need to go backwards in the script and do anything to let the audience know that this that is something.
They needed to hate each other for a minute, and they never got even a chance to even hate each other for a minute.
Well,
they
didn't
just went straight in.
But didn't she, my take on the handcuff scene was that's how she gets in close to handcuff him. By throwing
the handcuff thing, that's all of her using her vampire wiles
I still think your point about it being a little unearned is still correct, but I think that's what they were I think that's how they were trying to earn it.
Was the conceit.
She's a vampire. Right? He's a guy who's just like, whoa, this hot lady kissed me. What would I even do? I won't even notice these cuffs being put on me.
You don't even need. Yeah, so you're saying she doesn't even need to have vampire skills?
Yeah.
He just has to be a stupid man.
She
uses her wiles. Okay. I got you.
He just needs to be a stupid man. That is correct.
Yeah, stupid man. Yeah.
You nailed it. Kevin Grievous guy, or Kevin Grievo, whatever. I just noticed this just to give the dude some cool credit here. He graduated from Howard University in Washington, D.C. with a degree in microbiology. Afterwards, he attended graduate school and worked toward a master's in genetic engineering. And it was while studying this highfalutin freaking PhD work that he started taking some screenwriting and cinematography classes. And then before he knew it, he was...
I want to challenge you guys without looking, this Kevin Grievous guy, name either of the other two movies we've already seen him in.
He's done other things.
I won't look.
He's we've seen him twice before this on FilmSack.
He's a writer and a deep voice guy that talks like this.
Sort of deep. It almost sounds like he's faking it, which kind of drives me nuts. But
it could be just the way he might have to do that. Maybe he's, you know,
two other movies.
Yes, this is our third FilmSack movie with that guy.
Can you give me
he was in the movie, not directing. You're saying he was in the movie.
In the cast.
In the cast.
Okay, he's in the cast.
Okay, give us a hint. Give us a hint, like character name or maybe era, like year maybe or something.
Oh, let's have character name because that's funny.
Okay.
In one of them, his character name was Roadblock Officer.
Oh, my
God. And in the other one, his character name was Associate Goon.
Associate Goon. Good Lord, I can't think of anything.
Do you have a guess? I have no idea.
What was the one we watched with Alec Baldwin? The Shadow.
That'd be a good one. He seems like a shadow
guy. Associate
dude.
It's a really good guess, but that's not one of you couldn't possibly guess for the we've seen 600 movies, right?
Does he have any speaking roles in these other films?
Yeah, because that's what, like, if you hear him talk, you remember, it's like,
I would definitely remember if he talked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. I can't think of any, but what are they?
So he was in Congo the Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas.
Right.
And
I think was he one of the guides that was like chopping down he was a real jerk, right?
Brian, he was a roadblock officer and an associate goon.
Okay. Associate goon. That's what I'm thinking. Like he was like the strong arm.
Like a henchman. Like a henchman.
Maybe not one of them. That's what I was trying. Yeah.
Maybe not the main one, but, you know, a henchman.
Was he an associate goon in the Flintstones, or was he an associate goon in? Okay,
yes,
that's amazing.
He was a Congo, he was Congo? Roadblock officer. Which
I remember nothing.
You take the roles you can get, right?
Yeah, sure.
I had no problem remembering our previous two movies that we sacked that had Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
She is so memorable to me for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, she's great in everything.
She's also this third time for Kate Beckinsale, who was in Pearl Harbor and who was in Van Helsing.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, Van Helsing always reminds
Van Helsing too with this role. Yeah.
Van Helsing and this remind, they just kind of mix, you know? They're like, it's like a cocktail, certain kind of whiskey.
I hate that Van Helsing never did any better than it did. Yeah. That made me sad.
Well, if it had been better than it was, maybe it would have, because it wasn't very good.
Well, I'm sorry. I did sound like I was saying that I wish I had done financially better. I apologize. Yeah. I wish they had been a better
movie. The
movie
itself was better.
Yeah. I think if the movie had been better, I think they would have sold better. I don't know.
Right.
That movie would just, they cannot get that Universal stuff right. It just is a
show. All right. Here's the wager, guys. Place your bets. Is Van Helsing higher or lower than Underworld on Rotten Tomatoes? Let's go. Everybody guess.
Van Helsing is
higher.
Underworld is higher, I believe.
I'm going to guess Van Helsing is higher.
Really?
That's actually where I would put it. I would have put Underworld higher when I saw it back in 2003.
You put your underwear higher.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Scott, do you want in on this?
Yeah. I'm going to say. Now I don't know. Like, if I was doing this for money, I have a feeling the way the question was posed that it's probably Van Helsing, but I'm just going to say Underworld's higher.
You're correct. Underworld is higher than Van Helsing on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
With 31% to Van Helsing's 24%.
Holy shit.
Oh, that's nice. Really bad.
The original, the original Underworld's only in the 30s? That's crazy.
31%, the movie we just watched. Yes.
I thought that was it did well. Like, audiences liked it, but yeah, I didn't know it was that low on the reviews. We also, by the way, saw that dude in Speed. He just was uncredited. Speed. He was a bomb squad SWAT member in Speed.
Oh, really? The Kevin Groover,
whatever it is.
We can pronounce his name like 5 or 6 different times.
Yeah,
we'll get it right eventually.
Did we do the bad? Did we do the Planet of the Apes that was the bad Tim Burton one? Did we do that?
Was he in there as well? That would be confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we did.
He was an ape commander.
Oh really?
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
That's cool. I would love to be that.
But he didn't speak, right?
Yeah, he mostly. Saying, like, yeah.
Hearing him talk as an ape commander probably would be pretty distracting too.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Ibbett, here's something for you though. You're Mr. Marvel over there. Marvel Powers United VR. He is the voice of Groot in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That makes sense, right? That voice of his.
You got a deep voice. Yeah. Can't get in touch with Vin Diesel. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Vin Diesel's a little high on the expensive chart.
Is there a more, we always talk about irreplaceable roles, right?
Mm.
Is there a more replaceable role than Groot that has ever existed?
Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody loves that it's Vin Diesel, but you're not wrong. They could totally replace it. Right. I could do it if I worked on it.
Exactly. With one, you could do it in a few seconds, and then they'll just keep reusing that audio.
Yeah, and they'd use AI to like alter it so it sounds sad this time, excited this time, a question this time. Yeah,
I genuinely believe that Gilbert Gottfried could have been Groot. I believe that.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. That'd be amazing,
man! What a legend!
Yeah, that guy was great. There was some interesting stuff happened on set. Scott Speedman suffered a concussion when a set prop that was supposed to be a part of the wall Victor had thrown at him hit him in the head. So we haven't even mentioned Bill Nighy here.
I was about to say that's Bill Nighy. Victor threw him.
Yeah, he is the. So I here's what I've learned in this rewatch of this movie is my like for it, and I really did enjoy it back in the day, and I enjoyed it last night, maybe a little less than usual, but I decided the reason that I did ever enjoy it is because him and Michael Sheen are in this.
Michael Sheen is so
and
good.
Those two guys elevate everything about the movie. Victor, without Victor, this movie sucks.
Yes.
You know,
and when he does
they're the only bright spot in this, sadly, is their acting. And we don't, I mean, I can't remember. I don't know if I've even seen the sequels, but we're not going to get either of them in the sequels.
No, you know, that's the bummer. Well, I think you get Sheen a little in something. Maybe it's tiny bits.
Like a prequel or something.
Yeah, but the rest, we're done with Victor and that sucks.
No, we're going into Marcus territory, right?
And this was the first time I was ever exposed to him. I'd never seen him in anything prior to this. And then after this, I think it was, so every time he'd show up in anything, I'd go, oh, that guy again. I love that guy.
Yeah.
And yeah. he can do no wrong.
Love Actually was what, a year after this or 2 years after this?
Something like that. And then he, you know, Pirates was after this, where he was Dead Man's Chest guy or whatever, and Davy Jones.
Right. Yo-ho-ho.
Was Davy it Davy Jones? Yeah, Davy Jones. And then the other thing Davy he did Jones. Was, what was the notable thing? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was the dude at the end that takes Arthur on a tour of the
Okay. Oh, that's right.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. Huh.
Not Slarty Bartfarst.
I can see it.
Or maybe it is Slarty Bartfarst is the character's name. Yeah. But anyway,
That's who he is.
Yeah, so every time he would show up, I'd just go, oh, shit, this guy. This guy, who I don't even know who this guy is. And apparently he's, you know, hugely known for stage and stuff and all that. Yeah. I just, my first exposure was half of his face sliding off in a vampire movie.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah.
My head and feels so funny.
And, you know, I have a kid running around and I have to find a way to differentiate between this actor we're talking about and Bill Nye, the science guy. It's very difficult. I wish he had.
It's annoying.
I don't know. I wish one of them. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is to this.
Well, one is Bill Nye and the other is Nye, but it doesn't matter. You're right. It's frustrating. Someone should just go William or something.
Someone should get it figured out.
William Nye, the science guy.
William the Nye.
Willie Nye.
Yeah. Oh, that's even better. I like that.
What's great about him is that he's kind of got this almost like a Christopher Walken level of delivery that you can't basically say, all right, disappear in this role, because he's always going to sound like, you know, he's got a thing delivering his lines that he's never going to be able to cover up with another character.
He's like Michael Cera, but old, in the sense that he's here to do one thing and he'll do it great in everything he'll do it in.
Mm-hmm. Every time Bill Nye speaks in any character, he sounds like he's manspreading.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He's the sound.
No, I don't.
He's the sound of sitting on the train with your knees as far apart as possible. That's his sound.
Okay.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. I just found out something. I'm about to lose my mind. I hope this is good. Oh, it's just a short.
He's only 27.
In 2023, this year, I don't know if this is out yet or in pre-production, but they're making a short film based on these books, these pulpy Western books I love called the Fury books. This one's called Bloody Fury. Mm-hmm. They're really pulpy and ridiculous and over the top, but awesome. Really fun to read. And he's the inner dialogue for the main character. He's the voice of it. That makes me want to run out and get this shit in my veins. Oh
yeah,
man.
Put it right in there, just like the blood enema, whatever it was. Blood
through IV. A bunch of pipes, unnecessary pipes.
Yeah,
and a gear that you have to turn to line up the pipes over the mouth of the vampire for some dumb reason. Why isn't it always just
six centuries couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Brian?
I was too hung up. I'll admit, in this movie, I was way too hung up on the time passage for the centuries for Victor have been out, because he's coming around and he's like, oh, what's going on? You know, they got like a video room that monitors him. He has no shit. Mm-hmm. He has no idea about this stuff. No. Everything's totally different outside.
Yeah, it's all different when he comes out. Exactly.
Yeah.
He died what? In how many years, they say? It was 1,000 years or something?
Something like that. They do it in cycles. Yeah, they each take a turn.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's been a minute.
I do like the concept and use of vampires as, okay, here's the sexy younger ones, here are the ones from the 1800s, here's all these ones that are all with us, but then there's these ancient the ancient ones, dude. Those are the ones that
was cool.
And in anything, not just this, like even in What We Do in the Shadows, the film version, was it Peter? Yeah, Peter, who lived in the basement in the stand-up coffin. Freaking love like the Nosferatu looking guys. They're so badass. I love everything about that, and that's kind of what this was. It was like this elder lord, you know, oldest of us kind of thing, and I dug
how they went really fast, but the lore was established pretty quickly and easily because they used a lot of vampire tropes. And so, I thought it was a good summer movie. So this is a great summer, hot summer action movie, summer action hot, whatever it is.
Oh, it's perfect for this. Yeah. Perfect
hot
for a hot
movie summer.
Right. But that's what I kept thinking. I'm like, I don't want to think about this too long or too hard. Just give me some popcorn and, you know.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, so we'll get one second, Randy. The talking about Marcus, though, this whole thing at the end. Oh, no.
I dropped my bottle.
Okay.
I got my IV. Go ahead.
They don't give us any sort of like, oh, you're going to be in trouble when, you know, when Marcus wakes up kind of thing to make that Victor. Ending have any sort of, I'm sorry, Victor.
Well, which one? Yeah. Cause no, Marcus, Victor, is
yeah, Marcus was the very end is the one.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Marcus is a movie two, by the way, is Marcus. Yeah. He's the sequel. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't say, they don't give us any reason to be worried or scared or anything like that. When they give us that ending, it's like, oh, okay. Another elder is going to wake up. Great.
Yeah. I like that. I like the idea that there's an infinite regress of elder vampires as you go, you have to take an elevator down and you keep going down and then there's this older room where there's this one that's been there for 4,000 years.
I like the idea though, that Marcus is going to have to do like 2 weeks of blood therapy and all that. Like like Victor had to do. Such a pain for those guys. Real quick, Brian Ibbett, you're a fan of Florence and the Machine, right?
I do like Florence and the Machine. And the Machine.
They have a brand new video out for the song called Free, and it features Bill Nye in the role of Old Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's not on my vinyl.
He's Old Man in there.
Old Man.
He's in the role of Machine.
Yeah.
Machine.
Oh, and if you want to hear him, I'm sorry to even do this because it's so unrelated, but if you want to hear him do some incredible voice work, but also nail that thing that is his voice, see that Castlevania animation show on Netflix. He plays Saint German. He's an amazing character. So good. Anyway,
I know this is pretty far afield, but has anyone yet combined Rage Against the Machine, Florence and the Machine, and the Miami Sound Machine? Is that a thing?
A lot of machines.
All the machines.
A machine tour.
Yeah.
Who are they?
Rage Machine
Against Florence and Miami.
Machine Gun Kelly opens for him, and then we all regret it.
Well done. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Too many machines.
There's something here. I feel like there's something here.
You need to get into the business of show promotion and event stuff. Make that happen. Yeah. Get going.
I have a question for you.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Randy had a question. Ask a question
about Underworld, because I'm going to admit that I had a hard time following this movie. I had to really concentrate. I was sitting forward, staring at the screen, trying to pick up every line of dialogue, because there's just not enough for me. There was not enough explanation of anything ever.
Right.
I'm just curious. Did they kill everyone except Kate Beckinsale and Scott Speedman? Everyone?
No.
Well, all the Lycans. Right?
Well, everybody.
No, the Lycans were the Lycans. They retreated. You saw them at one point. They was all like, "Okay, we're cool. Yeah, we're cool. Go ahead and do your thing."
Yeah, because you get what's his name? We keep talking about with the low voice. You get him in the sequel. He comes back, same character.
Okay. Because the movie made a point of showing you Craven is dead. Obviously, Victor is dead.
Obviously.
I thought in the fight with Lucien was killed. And I'm just like,
Lucien is killed.
So are you talking about all the Lycans, or are you just talking about the primary characters that were the Lycans?
Yeah, the characters, like, they completely wipe out the Vampire Council.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it just felt like a movie where at some point the killing was so constant that I was like, oh, you don't want me to actually care about any of these characters. They're just going to die.
It does feel like everybody except for Prison Break's Wentworth Miller, Dr. Adam. I feel like he's
so young here.
Yeah, he's very young. Well, this would have been right around the time that show launched. So it would have been right around that. But anyway.
For instance, by far my favorite character in the movie is the Lycans, Grima, their scientist.
Oh, yeah, dude. So weird. Oh, yeah. That guy. So weird.
I love this guy. And so when they brought him before Victor, I'm like, oh, he's going to die. Damn it.
Aww, movie.
Yeah, but he died in a glorious way. Like that big old claw to the side of his head and then bleeding out that. There was something. The movie's real good at the gore. Real good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were moments of like, holy
shit. The fight
scenes
were good. I mean, it's, you know, exciting, but I'm kind of with Randy on the, I kind of missed the entire, Victor killing Celine's entire family or being responsible for the death of her family until kind of a movie clips watch, like, oh, gotcha, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah,
that was some weird stuff anyway, because they did a lot of flashbacks and or vague memory stuff where it's all flashing, and there's even a point where Lucien is you know, they open up the skylight and let the sun in to kill Salim. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, that sucks. Yep. And then like the next scene, they have him sitting and the moon shows up and I'm like, the moon can't now show up. Mm. And then he all breaks loose and stuff. I'm like, okay, this is obviously you're saying everything here, which Kate Beckinsale's character said as well, that the memories she was passing along were not coherent. Right. So that seemed to be, seems to be par for the course.
And I'm sorry for having questions. Like I didn't watch the movie, but I did the movie and I feel like it didn't,
I didn't think that.
Explain things well enough. So for instance, memories can be passed in blood. Is that right? You can take my blood and give my memories to injecting it in your
flashbacks.
Yeah. I guess so. Right. Yeah. They really glossed over that.
Right. They established that both of them are closely related. So, you know, one gets killed by the sun and one raises from the moon. They're all like cousins. And
there's some really cool ideas in this movie.
Yeah,
like
that's what made it good.
Sunlight in a bullet. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
And it felt like not really capitalized on.
Do that in Blade, though? Because that was the other thing this movie was stealing from Blade.
It was a lot like Blade. Blade's a better. Blade's so much of a better movie. Blade 1.
Yeah.
Actually, I like all the Blades, but Blade 1 in particular.
And there was even talk that Marvel said no, but there was talk about doing a crossover with Blade. For Underworld.
Oh, I didn't know that. Marvel said no.
Yeah.
That's funny. Back Marvel then, they were saying yes a lot, so it's funny that they said no. Now they say yes, but they got money to say yes. Back then, they said yes back then because they didn't have any money, and they're like, sure, we need money. I don't know about that. I think that the lore, like vampire stuff, is usually a huge bore for me. Across the board, it's just not my favorite creature feature type stuff. I don't know why. I find it just annoying. Usually, this Blade and maybe some other stuff, but these things finally made some of that cool for me. And so I think I gave it too much credit for its coolness, but didn't really notice they were kind of crappy at telling this story. Because I don't disagree with Randy's take. It's not a great story.
And they
story.
Also don't really establish vampire rules. Like she can see herself in the mirror, the fogged up mirror that she's talking to the elders through. Or, all right, sunlight, but what about crosses or holy water or any of that stuff? Like they really don't do much to establish what are the rules in this vampire world.
Yeah.
The only rule they really bent and then explained, which I kind of thought was cool, is that these older lichens that have been around forever can now just turn at will. They don't need the moon.
Yeah.
In fact, they explain it right away in her opening monologue. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of a cool take. It was like, shit, that's this cool. is next level. They don't have to worry. There's no limit to them now. And maybe there's similarities with the vampires, but they didn't really get into it, you know? And Kraven, by the way, sucks ass. He's a terrible character.
Yes.
The actor's not good.
He did fine, but I didn't understand the character because it's like, does he love her? Doesn't love her? Is he mad? Is he dangerous? Not dangerous?
Well, is he about to walk upstairs and say, "Oh, hi, Mark," after every line because he's that bad of an actor?
His acting was fine.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I'm going to play some clips later and you're going to be like, oh, right. He was bad. He's not fine. He's so bad, dude. He's the worst actor in the film. I'm just going to put it out
there. Well, I didn't say he wasn't the worst actor in the film. That still is fine. Just like the rest of that shit we watched. Ain't no fantastic acting going on here.
Well, that's a fair point.
Oh, come on.
Sheen
is great.
Yeah. Michael Sheen, boy, sometimes I wonder. That guy can do no wrong. Love him and everything. Mm-hmm. But he sure ends up in some shitty McShitty shit.
Yeah, right. Like where was Frost Nixon in relation to this release wise? Because it feels like such a all right, I'm doing this movie to pay the bills. I'm doing Frost Nixon because it's a a work that I want to do.
He is definitely feels like one of those dudes. Like he's in The Queen, he plays Tony Blair, Frost Nixon, but then he's like, hey, I want to get naked a lot in Masters of Sex, by the way. That'd be cool.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Right. He's just kind of all over the place.
More if I get naked.
But I do love him. Trying to see when he did Frost Nixon. That would have been, that would have been like 08 or something. Hold on, let me just see here. Hold on, everybody. Frost.
Oh, no, dear vampire butt.
I don't want to lose bandwidth.
Yeah, every precious character.
Exactly.
Frost. Here it is. Frost Nixon was 08. Oh, my gosh, I was right.
Okay.
I don't know how I do that with yours, but anyway, yeah, so it's a little ways longer, but he's just so, he's magically good in almost everything he's in and elevates even the shittiest things like this in Twilight. Speaking of vampires, he was great in Twilight, even though Twilight, I hated Twilight, but I loved him in it.
He has a killer role in 30 Rock.
Oh. Mm.
He plays this, he plays this 4-episode character named Wesley, and it is killer. It is so funny. He can do no wrong for me. I can't think of a bad Michael Sheen moment.
No, right? Like that's I think we all agree. He's just freaking great. I can't wait for Good Omens season 2 or whatever they're working on, second series. Anyway, so what was I going to say about it? I was going somewhere with that though. I forgot what it was.
But so God, I hope we're going to say that if this movie is about the sort of like war of espionage between Lucien and Craven, Lucien is winning. Like he is winning at every step. Yeah.
That's because we're supposed to somehow like him, right? It's like we eventually have to flip to liking him.
Yeah, you have to liken. Oh, I'm sorry, liken.
You got to liken the liken.
Yeah.
But also like we were just saying, Craven is this weird corporate middle manager. Craven is like if Lundberg on Office Space was a vampire who smacked Peter in the face.
Yeah.
Like that's what Craven is. Mm. And like when he hits Celine, oh my God, I was just like, are we just going to, go on with the movie? Okay. All right. We're just going on with the movie.
Pretend that was no big deal.
I expected them to fight to the death right then and there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, in a movie that's full of blood and gross stuff, it's probably hard to think of what I thought was gross, but I'm just going to tell you.
Gross.
It was an effect that wasn't, and I knew it wasn't real, but the effect was his ribs from the inside pulling apart in the car.
That's so painful. Yeah.
That looked really painful.
They were showing that if you ever had like if you did have air between your organs and that would hurt so bad. That would be mega.
It does hurt. Like when they do laparoscopic surgeries now, they fill you with some air, not fill you, but put enough air in there to keep your stuff apart. And then later, it is the most horrible pain because basically that air has to escape slowly up through your upper body and then kind of through your skin. You can't burp it. It's awful. And I just seeing that sinew and that stuff getting pulled apart, even though I know that shit is all CGI, then that gave me the willies.
I was not a big fan of the creature designs for the werewolves in this one, the lichens. I really could have done with something a little bit.
Got a fix for you.
What do you got?
All they got to do when Michael is changing into a dog. All they got to do is pull back and show you that they added 3 more pairs of nipples. All they got to do.
Well, there we go. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm all in now. That sounds great. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Their snouts were too puppety, I thought.
And they were inconsistent, and the transformations didn't usually make sense. And I'm like, that just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like how when those two were fighting in the sewer and then he came in and told them to stop and then they morphed back.
People. That was sweet.
Yeah, that was cool looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was probably the best looking.
Had this like abrupt quality to the way the muscles would snap back into place. It was like crunchy and I don't know. That was
cool. I liked the actual transformation was pretty neat and the going inside the organs and stuff. That was pretty neat. But just the creature design itself just seemed, I don't know.
Werewolves are hard.
How do we feel about the being able to run across walls?
Werewolves. Yeah, they got some parkour skills.
I think that's shit. Yeah. It's too much magic.
Yeah, they're not Spider-Men. They're freaking werewolves. That's stupid that they did that. Yeah. You're right. But also, okay, to their creature design, name a werewolf movie where they had cool werewolves. I challenge
this was along the lines of American Werewolf in London, Paris. To me, the actual designs themselves, I'm like, we've come a long way since then. Not that those were bad.
See, I thought that was so much better, though. I thought American Werewolf in London's werewolf design was so much better.
It's a sliding scale. You go, oh, damn, they did that with that much money. And during the 80s, sweet.
Yeah.
But this, with the bigger budget and everything, I was like, you could do something better than this.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
I'm agreeing with you, Scott. I cannot name a good werewolf movie. Like a werewolf movie where
creature
the visuals strike me as best.
I got to say, I know Scott's been poo-pooing it, but the visual designs of the werewolves in the Twilight movie, not bad. For the werewolves.
Yeah, they're okay. But they, yeah. My point is, I think that the bar is low naturally because you got to make basically a big hairy dog look cool, and it's hard. I think that's hard to do. Right. They're vampires. It's like, oh, I can make him look all slick.
Well, that's what I liked about the Twilight. They just went and said, oh, these are just like massive freaking wolves. That they're just giants.
Yeah, maybe if they go more animalistic and less humanoid, then maybe they win me over a little more. That's a fair point. But I still say what I'm saying is I don't blame them. I think that's a hard damn thing to make look good. It sounds better on paper than it does in visuals. Mm-hmm. Whereas vampires, you can get all crazy, make them look cool and all that.
The Werewolf by Night Halloween one shot Disney Plus thing. And they don't extend mouth to look like, you know, a dog or a wolf. They keep it kind of human looking.
Yeah, right.
But add fur and fangs and that sort of thing.
So you're saying more Teen Wolf?
Oh. I don't think I'm saying that. No.
Definitely not that. How do you like
don't
Jack?
Put that in my mouth.
Do you remember the Jack Nicholson movie? I think it was just called Wolf.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
That freaked me out because he looked more man than wolf. He was mostly man, right? It was just kind of a hairy face and stuff. I thought that worked pretty well.
Yeah.
Was there Wolfen? Was that David Bowie? Well, who was in Wolfen?
Wolfen was let's see. Oh, I have it right here.
I'm trying not to confuse it with cat people or
Albert Finney. Gregory Hines, Edward James Olmos were in that. We should see Wolfen. What are we doing?
Oh, I would love to watch Wolfen.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. The Howling
Wolfen. The Wolfen's wasn't bad, but it was puppets. But once again, is what you expect from the early 80s.
Yeah.
I'd even make the argument that What We Do in the Shadows, the film, even though it's a comedy and a kind of fake documentary, when the werewolves went full werewolf in that movie and it was a lot of quick cutaways, there were those big white things out in the night, they were kind of freakish. Like in a way that I don't usually feel about a werewolf.
Yeah.
And that's funny because what a weird accident to have that happen in your comedy movie, you know?
You know what? I've just made a decision for myself. If for the first time in my life, I've just made a decision and this is it. This is the ruling that I do not need to see the transformation. You can show me a man and then cut to a quick shot of the full moon and then show me he's now a werewolf and I'm good. And that's kind of what they do in What We Do in the Shadows. There's none of this, intermediate stages that I see.
And they always make it look so painful.
Bones are breaking. I disagree. If you give me a werewolf movie, you better give me the transformation.
You want the pop and lock and all the...
I want to see it. Yeah, it doesn't have to be painful. I mean, you can make it so that it's like...
No, I'm more... Once again, I'm going to go back to Teen Wolf. You look down into the sink. you look up. You got more hair. You look down the sink again. You got some teeth.
Uh-huh.
Dunaway,
you're with me.
You're basically with him. Yeah,
it's perfectly entertaining. Don't need the good.
Just give me the quick cut. Well, I don't need to see the.
Did Teen Wolf 2? What did Teen Wolf 2 do with Bateman taking over? Do we remember how that was? Was that bad? That was probably really bad. No one cares. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, I mean the first one's not great, but just the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Just a little different flavor.
Right.
I don't think that's a battle anybody's fighting.
I can't. It's been years and years with you guys, and I can't believe we haven't watched a Teen Wolf movie. How has that not happened?
Yeah, we got to get that done.
Not
that
from lack of me saying it.
Because didn't we talk about the dude in the in the audience who has his pants down or his fly open or something?
Yeah, that comes up a lot, but I don't think we've ever seen Scene.
No. I think I said, let's watch Teen Wolf.
Yeah, it's Scene Teen Wolf. Let's get it.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen. I never want to see.
Yeah, we totally need to.
I heard some say that the Teen Wolf MTV series and now film, I guess that just came out, really supposed to be good, but I can't bring myself to do it. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. It's good enough.
Is it? Is it?
It's good enough. It's interesting. I didn't watch all the seasons, but I watched some of them.
Was it
WB level?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. It's like
Okay. I mean, but some stuff I like this. I can stomach some of that stuff. I mean, Supernatural is that, but it's, By the way, Teen Wolf is on HBO Max. Just saying.
Oh, is it?
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Understood. Message received.
Do you guys know this movie was filmed entirely in Budapest? That's cool.
No, I did not.
Yeah,
I looked it up. Everyone with their English accents initially had me thinking, oh, this is London, but then it doesn't look like London, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then there's the one guy who's Irish, but they're having him do some like pan-European English accent. It's very strange.
You talking about the doctor guy?
Craven.
Oh, no, Craven
is definitely Irish. Yeah,
yeah.
Let them have their native accent. I don't understand.
I definitely feel like this movie felt like the Batman movies, like an alternate universe. It didn't feel like it fit in our universe, so I didn't think about.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Much.
This was like Gotham, the way.
Yeah, it's like Gotham.
I get it. Yeah,
yeah. Because there's nobody on the streets ever.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's underground. You know, it's just.
All they had were the subway stuff. They had real people in it, but it felt ethereal and not part of the. Yeah, I agree with you there. That's true.
These people can only go out at night, so of course there's way fewer public out, which is good. That's a good thing,
right?
But the movie does start with the two of the two main vampires are like surveying the city,
mm-hmm.
and there's plenty of humans just walking down the street. It's pretty.
Yeah, that early part they were all. I mean, it never was not raining there. I noticed that. but the people, there were a lot of people with their umbrellas down there and stuff. I guess so. They implied humans live around,
right?
There.
But I mean, no, none of the vampires stopped in at like Walgreens or anything. I mean, it definitely felt.
It's the scene we all wanted and never got, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
What we do in the shadows has really changed. Like, I kind of wish I could watch Underworld without having ever seen what we do in the shadows, because it I have these expectations that their vampires are like normal people. I would like to undo that in my brain.
Yeah, it's hard to take them seriously now because that show is just so freaking good. Because when you see, you know, Nandor go to basically a Walmart and buy crepe paper. It's just what?
Right.
How can I ever take this serious? Yeah. I love that though. It's so good. That new season looks great too. Although big spoiler, somebody becomes a vampire. There you go.
What?
Get out.
I know. Weird. Let's see. Oh, I was going to, I had wrote this down because I don't know. I just couldn't help it. Do you think that James Cameron gets money every time someone uses this much blue light in their movie? Because man, that was like so much blue light. It felt like everything Cameron ever worked for. Suddenly the underworld people just said,
which makes it interesting because, you know, blood looks black. So you don't have to worry about, you know, cause there's a lot of blood in this movie. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to work as hard, I think, to make convincing blood and that kind of stuff.
It just has to be thick.
It's an interesting palette choice.
Red.
Thick and oozy. Yeah, for sure.
You guys ever see those really cool canvas wall paintings where you can get like a color palette of a particular movie? Like they print it out like and just.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I follow a Twitter account that does this every day. They put up a new movie with their whole color scheme. So you can just get it and make art with it. Yeah, it's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. If you're ever looking for like, if you want to draw or paint something and you want Wes Anderson colors, those are the best.
They're good.
Orange, burnt orange and yellow and beige.
Yeah. And they're really hard to find exactly in other palettes. I have a hard time at duping it until I find that, and then I just go sample them. Works really well. Let me tell you about my dogs. They're a little picky, okay? I got two of them. I got Rainer. A little hyperactive, a little freaked out all the time. And then I got Ripley, who's just a big, huge Weimaraner, mostly happy dog, but sometimes a little sad. You know what makes them both happy, though? Is when I feed them raw food. And you're saying, what? Raw food? What does that even mean? Well, they've been... Let me put it this way. They've both been itching, shedding, having kind of weird skin stuff. I think that's all in the past because I moved to Maeve, M-A-E-V. Did you know that a dog eating kibble every single day, like most dogs, is like a human consuming a diet of 100% processed foods? Imagine yourself eating Twinkies every day, all day. No matter what your species is, human or dog, fillers, additives, and synthetics are not optimal sources of nutrition. Enter Maeve raw dog food for dogs. Formulated by PhD veterinary nutritionists, with real human-grade ingredients that you can name just by looking at it. You look at it and go, oh, that's a cube of raw steak right there. That right there is a little bit of cucumber. It's easy to see. Plus, it's bite-sized and ready for your dog to eat, even blueberries. Mmm. Right out of the bag. No mess, no prep, just open, pour, and enjoy. And boy, howdy, do they enjoy it. Look, I can't talk to my dogs. I don't know if, I mean, you can talk to them, but they don't really know what you're saying. They key in on a couple of words, right? When they bark at you, you don't really know what they're saying, but you might kind of intuit what they're asking for. Well, I can tell how happy they are when they're eating Maeve versus, you know, some kibble-rich thing that's not great for them. There are many reasons that my dogs love Maeve. Rainer and Ripley love Maeve. And you can get $40 off your first order at MeetMaeve. That's MeetMaeve.com/filmsack. Look, they need unprocessed, high-protein, low-carb diets. That's just the truth. All right? Better for gut health, immune function, oral hygiene, skin and coat health. How about hip and joint health? That's an important one for especially Rainer. She's getting on. Mental health, anxiety, growth and early development, all these things are benefited by eating better for your dogs. And people love Maeve. There are over 1,000 five-star reviews. And so do their dogs. They give it those reviews if they could. Especially those nitpicky eaters. Anyway, I want you to make the switch to raw today. Right now, Maeve is offering $40 off your first order at meetmaeve.com/filmsack. Go to meetmaeve.com/filmsack. That's spelled M-E-E-T-M-A-E-V. To receive $40 off your first order, that's meetmaeve.com/filmsack. You'll be happy because your dogs are happy. All right, let's do some clips from this film. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Me too.
Only I think they're all of the...
This guy talking like... Here's plenty of that. Don't worry about it. He's definitely in there.
Here's Michael Sheen getting pissed.
They're acting like a pack of rabid dogs!
I like that.
Dogs!
Emphasized dogs. Boy, that guy has a forehead, doesn't he, though?
Oh, yeah, he does. A five head, actually.
He's got a five head. Yeah. Six head, even. Here's bad actor guy, all right? Sorry, he's just bad. This may as well be Wai Sow doing his shitty movie. Here it is.
Absolutely not. Not now. Not for a random incursion. The Awakening is only a few days off.
Come on, give me a break, dude.
Yeah.
So that's Craven?
Part of it is just that he's trying to hide that Irish accent.
Yeah. There were times they ADR'd him a bunch. Nobody else had ADR in parts of the scene, but he did because I'm sure his voice was coming out Irish or whatever. Randy's right. Just do Irish.
Yeah, let him be Irish. Why can't he be Irish?
Yeah, who cares? Irish vampire, it's kind of cool. Nothing wrong with that. All right, here's an example of that where the audio is effed. So all I wrote here is what happened to the audio, and here you go.
You know I was planning on having you at my side this evening.
Take Erica. She's dying to be at your side.
If you ask me, you take this warrior business far too seriously.
What?
You can't undo the past, no matter how many you kill.
He's in the same scene, the same distance from the camera, the same shot, and he went from up close mic to I'm in a bathroom.
I'm in a toilet. Yeah.
Exactly. Like I said, I'm not saying he was a good actor. I'm just saying there was a lot against him.
He acted. Yeah. Is that what you're saying? He had a lot to work against and therefore.
Yeah. He had a lot against him.
I'm saying it's an and not a but. Right. He's a bad actor and they didn't give him a lot to work with.
Doctor guy saying negative.
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 Here's the guy again that drove me crazy. Oh no, this is the dude with the low voice. I actually find it kind of annoying, but anyway, here it is.
We were ambushed. Death dealers, three of them. We lost them. 80 rounds. High content. Preventing him from making a change.
It's really kind of annoying.
It's the Green Mile too.
Like somebody trying to belch the alphabet.
Yeah. there's a kid. It was the great goal to be able to do that. Never could do it.
It's odd. I always worry about this. Anybody has like a really deep voice like that, it could be a physical impairment that could eventually. I hear too many people go, oh, so-and-so ended up getting throat cancer. And I'm like, oh, well, that's scary.
Well, yeah, but we don't know that here.
We don't know what we don't know why he talks like that. I'm always going to default to the fact that something is, this is how his vocal cords are, and there's just nothing he can really do about it. And but it is difficult to listen to, though.
It's hard to listen to.
Voice shaming him, Brian?
Yeah, is that what you're saying?
I am saying that, yes. I'm saying that I take everybody at their face value.
Well, here he is at a Comic-Con. Here he is at Comic-Con 2013. Let's just hear how he talks.
Reading a bit of trivia that you studied genetic engineering.
Oh, yes, in grad school I did. Although I did not get the master's, though.
So did that...
I don't know. It's still annoying.
Yeah, it sounds like he has trouble at the end of his breathing out.
It's almost like a vocal fry thing. If he stays in the upper register, he's fine. But then he ends his sentences by going down.
Yeah, he's got the 15 little marbles at the bottom of a barrel that just make the final part of the word. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But I like him. I just don't want him to read me. I don't want him to read me a bedtime story. Is all I'm saying.
Good Lord, no! That would be terrifying.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
Here's how I wrote. He's not sure.
I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, when he got one of his discs.
A little Michael Dorn in that one.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, a little bit. It reminds me of Tony Todd for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Tony Todd. I can hear Tony Todd. Yeah,
Michael Clark Duncan, man. It is just like straight out of the Green Mile.
Yeah, but he's
I'm curious, a lot of that seems to be, it would be hard to, he's very muscular, very large. I wonder how much of that is impacted by, you know, his diaphragm and all the weightlifting and does he have a hernia? What does all that affect?
I don't know.
So before any of that, he's like, hey, I'm...
I
think Dunaway thinks this guy's going to come over to your house and beat you up if you say anything.
I never want to say anything that's going to hurt somebody. I mean, likely he'll ever hear any of this.
No, he's not going to hear this.
Pretty rare. But I mean, I would feel like shit if somebody was having a whole podcast and they're going, yeah, Brian Dunaway, they go talk like it. Dang old weirdo. I wouldn't care, but still.
I think he's got a cool voice. It's just kind of distracting in this film.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Distracting.
It's not a negative thing.
Please don't hurt me.
Please don't hurt me.
Please don't hurt Dunaway.
Well, we all know that. I've made it very clear that a baby could beat me up. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah, I've seen it too. It's the worst.
Here's a tropey thing,
baby.
Here's a tropey thing to say.
Must I do everything myself?
This is the most tropey thing in any movie or cartoon or anything. Must I do everything myself?
Yeah, and he's quoting my mom when I was a kid. I say that all the time.
Yep. What was your mom's biggest complaint? What'd you do that you always get in trouble for? Is it some kind of sock thing, or what'd you do?
It's everything. So my mom would make a list every day. Before she did whatever she was going to go do, she would sit at the breakfast table and make a list of things that I was supposed to get done that day.
Yeah.
And then she'd check in on me. She'd show up a couple hours later and see where I was on the list. And where I was zero. I hadn't even looked at the list yet.
Yeah.
And so it was everything. I was constantly not doing, I wasn't, cleaning up my clothes. I wasn't keeping the bathroom tidy. I wasn't mowing the yard. Just everything you can imagine.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm bad. Sorry to hear that.
She was basically Craven, and you were Celine.
No, you were the little blonde girl who was
Erica.
Yeah, Erica, just trying to get it done. Jump on the ceiling occasionally. That kind of
Erica,
stuff.
The most unvampire name ever.
Is she our chick in the bucket? Because I don't feel like we ever got resolved on her. What happened to her? Or did I miss it?
Yeah.
Or forget?
Good point.
I don't think she. I don't think we got resolution on her.
For a sequel, like, does she become more of a villain?
I'm assuming, right? I think she does take a larger role in the next one. I was trying to remember.
I don't think she's in another one. Hold on. She's a one-offer.
Oh, really?
Wow. They might have had plans for her, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Underworld Evolution, the next one. She is in it.
Oh. She's not in any of them except for the following. Other than that,
well, hold on. It might be flashbacks or something. I'm not sure.
Could be,
but only the next one. So I guess
it's been a while since
she's still kind of a chick in the bucket. So we're gonna give her that right here. Where is it? Where's my bucket? I can't find. Oh,
grab a bucket.
You get it, Erica. You get it. Here's United. This is a vampire we don't get to know very well, but he's over there huffing and puffing about how they're going to get united in their clans and all that.
We shall once again be united as a single coven.
Oh, shit. Good news.
Did not know you could have covens of vampires. I thought it was just witches.
Same.
Yeah.
I think they probably too. Just said that because it sounded cool on paper. It's my guess.
Hey, right. What's a group of vampires called?
A clutch.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I've always thought a clutch of vampires, but
okay.
I like that. I don't know what an official?
I would say a bunch of vampires. That's
a bunch of vampires.
What is
a bunch? A lost boys of vampires.
Because they only come out at night, in my mind, they go to Denny's every freaking night. Every night. And so they are a booth of vampires.
A booth of vampires.
Are they really called a booth?
No,
I'm making it up.
No, Randy's making up shit.
Okay, this is the according to this Reddit article that is actually based this one's open. It's right. Based on a group called Fantasy Writers, and they call them some say coven, some say clan, others say pack, but this person's favorite is a nest.
That's what I would think. Like a nest one. Makes sense. Yeah,
a clade or a hunger of vampires. That's interesting.
Oh, a hunger. Like a clan, ooh, that I like a hunger of vampires. That is very good.
Yeah, it's not bad. They seem like these people are writers. I don't even know.
They wouldn't go to Denny's if they weren't hungry.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No one goes there unless you're hungry. All right. Here's some some real high mark moments. I thought with this dude
engaging death dealers in public and chasing around after some human was not what I had in mind.
You were told to set up shop and lay low.
That was the same guy, by the way. It sounded like two men. Yeah. That was the same dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not good.
Having a conversation with himself, nope, maybe.
Not good.
He's bad. Here's the human is bitten.
Not now.
He's been bitten. You're human.
Your human has been bitten.
Bitten. Bitten.
Bitten. Bitten. Some angry acting.
Haven't you been listening to me? She took me hostage.
All right.
Yep. Wentworth Miller trying to calm everybody down, get it all taken care of and have hair. Bill Nye in the house.
You know why I've been awakened, servant?
No, my lord. But I'll soon find out.
You mean when you find her?
Her. What y'all think about his gasp every once in a while? It was like a fish or something. Like,
oh, you want to hear that? Check this out. I got that right here.
But I had no choice. The coven is in danger and Michael is the...
I love this. Like, I have something to say.
Yeah. I like that he just interrupts people with it.
Yeah.
What do you think that was? Is that like his... He's still not totally full.
He's gasping, basically, right?
He's got a popcorn thing. Husk in the back of his throat that he's trying to clear out.
Been there since the 16th century.
Been there
century.
For centuries.
Yeah, it's been there since like 1603 when he had popcorn last. It's what killed him. It's what put him under the thing.
Yeah.
You broke the rules.
You have broken the chain and the covenant. You must be judged.
I mean, they don't deserve him. In this movie,
they don't
deserve it. I hope he got paid well, because my lord. All right, here's terrible Craven again.
Now you'll be lucky if I can convince the council to spare your life.
Holy shit! You know what that's almost like? Here, let's go back in time. Hold on, I'm gonna pull this up. I have this. Back on Film Sack episode, I don't know what. We did Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play that guy again, and then I want to play you this clip from Annihilation. Here you go.
Now you'll be lucky if I can convince the council to spare your life.
All right. Now listen to this from Annihilation.
It's my animality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. It's my animality.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying, two of the shittiest acting moments I've heard in a long time, they both sound the same. That guy's really bad.
Was he wearing vampire teeth? I always imagine that's really tough.
I think they all did, right? They all had little fangs. I know she did. She had them in all the time.
But when they're recording with their lines, probably they don't not, right?
I couldn't tell if sometimes they were added with CGI as opposed to practical teeth.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Yeah. I know
what y'all think about the inconsistency with the blue eyes? It's like, oh, she's really mad, or what's going on right now? Is she upset?
Yeah, well, another vampire unexplained, why are we doing this kind of thing?
Yeah, they didn't do a
what
lot.
What the hell is going on here? Yeah. Hashtag.
I like world building in my vampire movies, and they just didn't bother doing much world building. They just had a lot of accepted things and just said, here, go with it.
It just felt like they were giving us, it kind of felt like what The Matrix felt like to me. I mean, there was world building there, but I felt like there was so much left unexplained. But we got a part two, and we knew it was getting a part two, I think, right?
Yeah. But it's Superman 2 powers that he needs. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Like Superman 2 powers that he needs when he needs them without any sort of like. are you trying to tell me that you want to speak?
That's funny.
No, that's funny, dude. Yeah, no, you're right. And here's the thing, though. Matrix at least set up things that you didn't need explanations for, because you could fence post it and go, okay, know what this is. This is something bigger. I always talk about this in Fury Road. It's like, well, tell me more about the bullet farm. I don't need to know more about the bullet farm. You've done enough to say that there's a bullet farm and this guy's in charge and he's got a lot of shit on him. And that's a weird thing to be called the bullet farm. That must be where all the bullets are. Like, I don't need over explanations. I just need something that says, oh, her eyes are bright blue, or kind of the pupils go away for a minute. Is that a thing I'm supposed to know about inherently? Right. You know, and they don't do anything to
tell
you. I
think they explained it visually fairly well, but you know, it was enough that I knew what was going on and I had questions. So that was good.
If it doesn't serve a purpose, then why?
It serves a purpose for me.
Yeah, visual.
Because it differentiates the vampires from all the other people that are wearing black fetish wear.
Everybody looked like if you got them out of those clothes, they'd have 14 ounces of freaking sweat in the bottom of those things.
Yeah.
I used to work for a guy. The guy that owes me $89,000 and will never pay me. That guy.
This guy though, he finds a way to bring it up.
I got
to
bring that guy in. But he used to during lunch go out and jog in these rubber suits, and he'd do it in the sun, like the hot summers, like 95 degrees out there running this thing, and he'd bring it back and then would chase me around and try to, and he would open like the wrist, because it was all tightly on the wrist and the ankles. Yeah, he would open up the wrist and try to pour his sweat on me.
And this wasn't a clue for you to escape?
Well.
Like, it's like a reverse Dutch oven, basically. Like
He did that once.
Fart balloon at you.
You're closer to the truth than you think, because he also did this, remember Fen-Phen? It was like a weight loss thing that's now illegal or something. Anyway, he was super into that, and it gave you what it was described in the side effects list as oily discharge. Ugh. And so he would do that. He'd be sitting there in a meeting and he would suddenly stop talking and go, uh-oh, I'm like, what? Oh, I got some of that oily discharge. And he would get up and his seat would have like a little orange little thing. He'd get it on his finger and then chase me out of the office with it.
Oh my God, Scott.
You guys, I have PTSD.
I don't mean to victim blame. But come on, Scott.
No, I have PTSD. I have PTSD from this era of my life. 100%.
This is right. This is why the licking of buffalo sauce is off your finger.
I never thought of it. I never thought of it until now. Holy crap.
It's the oily discharge. Sorry, oh my God.
You got to the bottom of it, dude. You did it.
Anyway. By the way, Crazy Neighbor also runs around one of those sweatsuits.
Oh, does he? That sounds like something.
Yeah, it's like
David
a bright green Russian mafia boss tracksuit looking thing.
Yeah, the idea is that you sweat more, and therefore it's a weight loss trick.
Lose water weight. What is the point of that?
I know it's dumb. It's not good for you.
You really talk with new water.
Yeah, you're supposed to keep drinking while you're doing it a ton, because you don't want to. It's not good for you to do.
Hey, you're supposed to, I guess, get rid of toxins that way. You know what's more? It's much more effective than that. Mm. Your internal digestive system is way better at doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your kidneys taking better kidney health and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. All right, here's one final clip. This is interesting because I get these clips from Ibbot's mom all the time. It's like, hey, here's Brian before prom. Here he is at prom. Here he's in the car. The you know whatever. This
Come
time's
on,
interesting
because I can't Come defend on. Myself today.
I know you really can't. But this is you at the restaurant that you took her to, and this is just the waiter saying, "Sir, what would you like? You've been looking at the menu," and this is what you replied to the waiter. So it's really nothing to do with the girl at all. It's just what you said to the waiter.
I want that lichen's head on a plate.
Wow.
Yummy.
Lichen head on a plate.
Mm. Yeah, well, I let her pick the restaurant. That was the biggest problem. And
never let your date pick the restaurant.
Other than the words lichen and dogs, did we ever call them anything else in this whole movie? Were they ever once called werewolves or anything like that?
Oh, geez.
I don't think they refer to them as werewolves.
Now that you said that.
No, lichens only.
Yeah, just lichen. Which is funny because that's also like the green, it's just spelled different, but the green moss mold kind of stuff on rocks is lichen.
L-I-C-H-E-N.
Yeah.
I always thought that was pronounced lichen.
Lichen, I did too. Is it not lichen?
Oh, really?
I thought it was lichen.
I thought it was lichen.
It might be lichen. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say...
It'd be cool if it's lichen because then it's like a lich. You know?
Oh, yeah. Right. That's even cooler.
That's what I figured. Yeah. It was like a... That's what it was. Yeah.
Bitchin' lichen you got there on your rock. Good stuff. All right. That's it for clips. It is now time for this. Whoops. I'm in the wrong damn place for that. All right. Here we go. Right here. It's time for the Film Sack checklist. And it goes like this. With all these overcoats, they could have called it undercoat. more blue light than James Cameron could ever dream of. And finally, why is that guy's voice that way? Check. Let's move on to Star Trek connections. I know he's at least a connection because he's got a listing I just ran into. But Randy, what do we got Star Trek-wise in here?
That's
do you know?
That's it. There's one.
Just that's him? It. That's it? Oh, it's shit.
Scott McElroy is Soren in this movie. Mm-hmm. And he was in one episode of Deep Space Nine. He played a guard, barely a role, and The Darkness, the episode The Darkness and the Light.
So wait a minute. I thought this Grievous or Greveau guy was in. No. It says he's in it.
Feels like it, right?
Hold on. Hold on to your butts. He was a security officer in Deep Space Nine. He was uncredited, though, but it's in his list.
Well, uncredited doesn't make
sense. Oh, we don't get that.
Does it work with the API?
Oh, you know what? He was in the crossover episode when they started DS9 and it was Next Generation led into it. Because he's got two credits, Next Generation DS9 security officer and then Deep Space Nine security officer. And it was that one episode or those two episodes where they crossed it over. Anyway, sorry. So this other guy, though, we got him. He's good.
Scott McElroy.
Yeah.
I remember this episode of Deep Space Nine, The Darkness and the Light, and it's about someone is killing everyone that Kira used to be in like a resistance cell with.
Okay.
And so she's slowly realizing that she's next. It's a good episode. I recommend it.
Can't remember, but okay.
Yeah, this movie doesn't have a lot of crossover with Star Trek because this is a European joint. This is very British and Hungarian, this movie.
Did the dude that directed it, all of them? Let's see. Len Wiseman, known for this. Yeah, he did all the Underworlds. Awakening, Evolution, Rise of the Lycans, all that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he did Swamp Thing, that series everyone loved.
The HBO one?
Yeah, the newer one.
Is that viewable anywhere? Because I remember it was on the DC Unlimited app, and that was it, right? Or did they move that over to HBO? Or
pretty
Max?
Sure it was on HBO Max, but on Max now, I don't know. I went there yesterday looking for something old and couldn't find it. I have a feeling a lot of stuff slipped out of there.
Shoot!
Oh, there's a new one called Underworld Blood Wars. That was 2016. Was that any good? Let's see.
No.
No, it is referred to
as... The answer would be no. Yeah,
if we didn't hear about it, probably not good.
Yeah, she's back, though. But Charles Dance is in it. That's cool.
Oh, that's good. Really?
Yeah, we like him. He's great.
They can find good actors.
Yeah, they just can't make a good movie. All right. Yeah. Well done on the Star Trek stuff. Let's move on to soundtrack grade. Giving it an A for appropriate. Not A for awesome, but like, you know, it fit the material. It's fine.
Adequate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good for what it is. Let's do the Twitter post or the social media post, whatever you want to call it. We got to sum this thing up in about 280 characters or less. And this week, let's start with Canadian bound, or you're not bound, you're there. You're just in Canada, Randy. Oh, by the way, real quick before we do this, a whole bunch of people think Randy lives in Canada. He's there on vacation. I got all these messages going, I could have sworn he was American. Didn't he say something about Texas? I'm like, guys, he's just visiting. He's just up there for a bit. His wife's from Canada.
Everybody thinks I live in Vegas, too, so yeah. It's totally fine.
Yeah, you practically do.
Yeah, you kind of do. All right, sorry, Randy, go ahead.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that.
You bet.
Thank you for defending my honor.
What a good job. What a great job there. Uh-huh. So we have okay, here we go. Hold on. Underworld. All guns have 200 rounds, and they make the loudest sounds. Perfect hair with little muss. Oh, look, is that Morpheus? No, it's Bill Nighy with skin. Bet he smells like shit and gin.
No.
We should watch some better shows like what we do in the shadows.
Oh, that's pretty good. Like,
he smells like shit and gin.
You got to find your rhymes where you can find them, okay? That's the deal. All right, and finally... Oh no! Not finally.
No, then yeah, finally.
Brian. Sorry, Ibbets, Brian. No, I almost skipped Dunaway. Brian Dunaway.
That's hurtful.
Yeah.
Underworld, like The Matrix meets Blade meets Romeo and Juliet meets Teen Wolf meets me walking out the door. Hashtag no sir, I ain't liking it.
That's good. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
I said the same thing pretty much as the other two, but I did it in shorter characters. Underworld. The Matrix revamped.
Oh, nice.
Vamped.
Got it.
Oh, the dad jokes are strong.
We should combine
this
it.
Father's Day weekend, you guys. Dad jokes. Yeah. That's what we got here. All right, let's do this here. These are alternate titles. This is almost called Blue Man Group of One, or The Vampire Matrix, which sort of fits with everyone saying. Let's move on to the emails here. We got one from Alberta, Canada, funny enough, so more Canadian stuff. Tracy S. wrote in, says, hello, Scott, Randy, and my favorite Brian of the other Brian and the other Brian. So we don't know which one she means.
We don't know.
No.
Well, good. All right. Keep it away.
He or
and
she,
I don't want to know.
No, yeah, you don't want to know. Says, I'm at the part of the show where Scott is enjoying the idea of a goldfish plan card for replacing the family fish. We were talking about that for, what was that for?
Right. It was that's the movie trope. It was Patriot Games.
Oh, right.
And the goldfish, you basically just pay a pet store to always have a goldfish that looks like. Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. He says, when my wife and I were trying to decide what kind of pet to get our 7-year-old, I remembered that my grandmother had a Siamese fighting fish that had to be at least 5 years old. I thought, sweet, there's a low-maintenance pet that lives a long life, and we bought it one for the kid. After several weeks, several fish, and lots of tears, I called my grandmother to ask her secret for keeping her fish alive. She says, my fish? Oh, those were never... They would never make it very long. I just grab a new one when the old one dies. I wonder if my grandmother and a frequent buys card. I'm not sure what that means.
A frequent buyer's card. Frequent buyer's card. Plenty.
That's what it was. My poor kid. Thank you for the best podcast out there, gentlemen. And Brian, stay safe. So you're really pushing that who's my favorite Brian thing. I love that.
No shit. Yeah.
Yeah, these are the things you find out when you're an adult. It's like grandma was just buying new fish to make us happy, and there's no such thing as a fighting fish.
My cat didn't go to live in a farm upstate.
Yeah, or live 28 years or whatever. So that's awesome. Thank you for that email. Filmsack@gmail.com is the place to send it. You can also send us texts at 801-471-0462. I'd like to welcome some patrons to the party. This week, we got some brand new folks supporting us at patreon.com/filmsack. Soren Pantakotin. Jonathan Bell, Free Rangers. We know him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
John Owens, fantastic human beings. Why? Well, they find value in what we do, and they like to put their money where their ears are. And we really appreciate it. And it doesn't cost much. Just hop on over there and check out what you could get, like no commercials ever, pre-show content every week. And monthly special episodes from the host. We just put one up for Randy that was excellent, by the way, Randy. Very good. And people really like
it. You guys really make me think. It's awesome. And by you guys, I mean the three of you. And I also mean our patrons. Everybody just kind of contributes to the excellence of my experience. And I love that. I love being able to turn around and tell you what I thought about.
It's a strong monthly episode, and people will like it. We'll do those every month, different hosts doing different stuff. So check out next month. I don't even know who's up next. I think it's me.
It's me.
The pressure's on. Randy killed this one. Brian's was really good last month. I don't know how I'm going to handle it, but I'll figure it out. Anyway, that's something to check out. Also, movie-related art in the mail, all kinds of stuff. Go check out these benefits by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/filmsack. Our next episode will be an episode all about guilty pleasure movies. It's a bit of a special that we're recording, so we've got some out-of-towner business going on. People really liked our last one, so I'm excited to bring this one to you. Guilty pleasure films. Good. What makes one? What are ours? Why they matter? Is it okay to like something that's kind of shitty, even though you just love to see it? those kinds of questions. We'll answer those. And then after that, Thunderball. So back to
that's
back
a James
to,
Bond.
Yeah, back to the James Bond. So we'll be doing all that coming up very soon. So watch for that. In the meantime,
can I drop a quick science fact on you?
Do it.
Ooh,
I have to say it now or never say it again. I looked it all up. A lichen, L-I-C-H-E-N. That's a composite organism. You might have thought, oh, well, moss. That's like a plant. No. Yeah. It's a composite organism that is an algae living inside a fungus.
Oh.
And it makes up, I'm not kidding, it makes up the most of any organism on the planet. Around 8% of the world has lichens on it.
Really?
Wow. Most dominant organism on the planet is
a
lichen.
So, it's not lost on me that also is what a werewolf is. Is that why it's called lichen? Like why they're called lichens? Mm-hmm. Because it's a transplanted organism into another. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
I would guess I could look this up too, but I would guess that one comes from Latin and one comes from Greek, and they're different ideas.
L-Y-C-A is the dog or wolf Latin prefix.
Gotcha. Let's see. How do they pronounce it? Let's pronounce it. Here it is, right here.
Lycanthropy.
Oh.
That's
good job. That's the other. Yeah. That's you want the other lichen.
Quite what I was looking for. Yeah. How about, Urban Dictionary. Check this out. Look at what Urban Dictionary says. Commonly mistaken as a werewolf, the lichen is more advanced species that, unlike werewolf, can, for the most part, control their transformations. A werewolf can only change under the full moon and cannot control that. The same can be said for lichens. However, they are also able to transform at any other time, whether full moon or not, should the need arise. Mm-hmm. Now, that's their top definition. Let me read you a lower one.
Oh, no.
Half werewolf and half vampire. Basically the most badass of all mutations. Holy crap, that girl's face is so broken. She looks like a lichen. Yeah, that's what you get on. You often get your first definitions usually dead on. Your second or third, just garbage shit over there, which is the whole idea. Anyway, that's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Filmsack.com is our website. And you should go there. Also, leave us reviews wherever you get podcasts. That'd be nice as well. That'll do it for us today. For me, for Brian, whichever one's your favorite, and Randy.
Abomination.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Negative.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.